Hi guys, welcome to the show. This is Lady Lovin. We have a fantastic episode in store for you this week, and we are a brand new podcast. If you have not subscribed yet, please do. It is free to listen to our podcast, and we're so excited to make it for you. So definitely subscribe and tell your friends. We love talking about all the girly issues that matter to us, just like they matter to you. So of course, today I'm here with my besties. I have Jilly Hendricks to my right, Greta Teitelman to my left, and we have a very special guest on the show today. She's one of my most faves ever.
Me too.
We have the magical Nicole Winhofer. She is a fitness artist here in New York City and literally teaches the most banging workout classes in the history of workout classes. So welcome. Yay.
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 You guys. Hi.
If you can think of a star that you would want to look like, and I'm not talking about astrologically, I'm talking about celebutards.
Physically.
She will make your body that.
Really?
Yes.
Nicole is amazing.
I think I'm quite blessed, so thank you for having me here today.
She's a body whisperer.
I really like that term.
Yeah.
I have to say it's quite odd recording without people seeing me, so I have to kind of get used to this.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really fun hour, Nicole. We have a lot in store for you.
Well, to paint a visual, Nicole is just like a radiant beauty of femininity and female power. And that's kind of what we're all after in this life. So
yeah, absolutely. So before we start the show, if you are ever in New York City or if you live in New York, please come check out Nicole's class. It's the Nicole Winhofer Method. You can sign up on Mind Body Connect, which is a cool app for like all things fitness. Or on your what's your website, Nicole?
It's NicoleWinhofer.com and also my Instagram at Nicole Winhofer. So you can just slide me in the DM.
It's actually, the correct term would be slide into my DMs.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just slide into Nicole's DM.
I just learned that one today.
Also, if you want to date her, just slide into her DM.
Also, if you want to date any of us except for Lo, slide into all of our DMs because I'm trying to, okay? So
I don't know if we have a large male listenership.
Well, maybe the girls will just tell the dudes in their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
What up with
True.
Anyway, all right, let's jump into Best Worst Week. But you guys, I'm so sorry. The topic for today, we're talking about how to get your best body. This is not just physical. This is also mental and emotional. And Nicole is an absolute expert at that. So now let's get into Best Worst Week. Jilly, why don't you just like take charge, lead the way
well,
today.
I'm having a great week because I just joined a new workout called the Mile High Run Club.
Oh, that's great. I'm
trying to get my running legs back from when I lived in LA. I used to run a lot, and then now that I live in New York, I just don't. So I'm trying to just get my footing back,
literally,
if you will.
Literally.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Greta?
If you know, I'm gonna stay on the fitness theme. I'm having a bad week because I just ate my body weight in carbs. That's not a bad thing, though. I'm all about carbs. But I have a fucked up hip flexor that I've been dealing with like on and off for a couple of years, and it's been bothering me recently, which is why I couldn't go to Nicole's class for a while, and I've been rolling it out with a physical therapist and working on it. So that's been kind of bumming me out, but it is feeling a lot better, and I'm going to be able to start doing stuff again. But it's always like a huge bummer when you have a physical problem that you can't control that's like bothering you. And then it just, for me, exercising is like so mental too. Like I just feel mentally so much better after I exercise outside of how great it physically makes me feel. So when I don't get to do it as hard as I want to do it, it bums me out. But, you know.
For sure. That's why I'm afraid of skiing. I'm afraid I'm going to, like, break my knee and not be able to work out for, like, 8 months.
You have to wear a helmet when you ski.
Yeah, helmet all the way. I ski. I love skiing. You just have to do, with skiing, you got to just, like, take it to what feels right. Like, don't, like, push it. You
know, my mom tore her ACL skiing.
My mom did, too, and that's why I'm so afraid of skiing.
You guys, my mom broke her tailbone just walking down the sidewalk. So, you know, all these things can happen.
Just existing.
Yeah,
she was standing there, and her tailbone just broke.
Just living. Yeah, exactly. Just my living. Mom sneezed and it snapped.
Yeah. I understand. Nicole, what about you?
Well, I have to say I'm having the best week ever, too.
Yeah.
Get it, girl.
Because I made avocado toast for the first time.
Woo!
Amazing.
And I know that doesn't sound like really, really complicated, but I'm the type of girl that's like always on the go. So I'll go to Whole Foods like once a week and just buy like lots of prepared foods and like things that are already pre-made. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday I was feeling very homely, so I took my Ezekiel toast. I got chili oil, chili flakes, Himalayan pink sea salt, lemon, avocado, and smashed it up and just prepared it.
Yeah. So your apartment was its own Café Jouton.
It was literally, so Café Jouton.
It was.
What a dream. I love it.
Café Nicole.
Yes.
I love that.
Café Nicole.
what Greta said.
Yeah, exactly. Well, fall is my favorite season. And all of a sudden, we're in fall, and that makes me feel like I'm having the best week ever. Because
well, your
every
birthday
morning,
is right around the corner.
It is.
Libra.
Yeah, I'm turning 29 on September 29th.
The golden birth.
It's my golden birthday.
That's amazing.
I know. I'm excited. Christopher and I are going to go to Rio.
Rio, baby.
My favorite place in the world.
Oh, yeah. Isn't your theme Brazilian this year?
Totes.
Like, you have, like, themes, right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about this, Nicole? Let's just jump into the topic.
Yeah.
Let's just get into it. First, Nicole, like, lives her life in such an amazing way.
Yes.
And sometimes she has themes and wears her hair like that and dresses that way.
It's true.
What's your theme right now?
So, well, it's fall, so I have to think of a new theme, and I'm running short because my highlights are still in my hair. But Rio really has inspired me, the culture and the women. And you just go there, and no matter what size they are, tall, short, lean, big, small, thin, petite, they all exude this confidence. It's like radiance, and they're on the beach just sitting there like queen, just like, I'm on a throne, and I'm hot and beautiful. And I used to go there all the time and just... You know, it was a place to see the ocean and relax. And I took that from last summer. I went there and I came back to New York and just brought back the music and the culture and the freedom of the female body. And it influences a lot of like what I wear and the music I listen to. And I think it's just a really good example for women to aspire to, because it's not about the physical aesthetic, but when a woman feels good, then she looks good.
Yeah.
Yes, queen.
How long
How long do your themes last? Is it a year or like 6 months, or does it just depend?
It just depends. I think that lasted like 6 months, but I get inspired by many different things, like movies or concerts or film. When I did that project with you for hair, like hair was really inspiring me at the time, and you know how I wear my hair, and I just get inspired by different things that influence my subconscious.
For sure. Nicole and I shot like a hair video for Pantene earlier in the year. That's when I first met Nicole.
And that's
so fun.
And then I started going to her classes, and like I got my beach bod.
Totes.
And then Lo brought me
from Nicole
to the classes.
And then I brought Greta, and now Jilly's gonna start coming.
I'm going to start. I actually have never been to one of your classes, but tomorrow's going to be my first day. Hey. And I'm very excited.
Nicole, could you explain what the Nicole Winhofer method is?
Yes. So I created this method for the working woman that thinks too much. And sometimes we don't have time to turn off our brains because we're in a society that's like always on the go, always thinking. And women nowadays are not dependent on people. And by nature, we're the beta energy. So you have the caveman man who's alpha, and then you have the woman at home who's the beta. And nowadays in society, women are hunting the food, killing the food, bringing home the food, providing for their friends. And they're just doing so much, and they're expected to look good and to smell good and to be confident and to work. And with all of these pressures, I got to work with many different people in the entertainment field. And I noticed that the only time they had to themselves was when they worked out, because they're so stimulated, they wanted to shut off their brain, and it was a way for them to just not think. So 1 hour in the dark, to good music, booty shorts, different movements, toning the body, and having fun.
It's
I love that.
The most rocking class I've ever been to.
I also feel like this is the year where, for me working out, I definitely have upped my workout clothing. And I really feel like that helps me when I work out.
It does. Totally. What you look like, what you see influences your performance.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you have a great wardrobe.
My daily life, yes. Not so much. My workout wardrobe is getting better.
Okay.
getting better this
year. Joe, you can have like 10 pairs of my pants. I probably have 55 pairs of workout pants.
You do wow. Workout pants.
So many.
Every time Lo comes to class, she's like in a new outfit with a new
Yeah,
video.
But I think it's important. I've realized
awesome,
that.
It's awesome, but
yeah.
I am also fortunate because a lot of different brands send me stuff because I do a lot of wellness on the blog, and so I just get to wear lots of different
Oh, yeah, thanks for that shout out, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I keep my workout wardrobe like pretty simple. I'm always in like some kind of like black legging with like a wife beater. Is that I hate that it's called a wife beater.
You always wear really cute booty shorts, though.
Yeah, you do have
booty
shorts.
I have booty shorts.
Yeah, it's inspiring, Greta.
Thanks. Can we like delete? I'm just going to call it like a white tank top. It's really a shame that it's still like okay to call that kind of a tank top a white beater.
I know. Maybe that's our thing. Maybe we can get rid of that term. Like, you know how there's terms that people are like correct people on nowadays?
It's a really fucked up term.
So we should really not use that.
Yeah, that's kind of my workout. That's kind of my workout. Though
it's a white tank top.
Also, I always pop the top at the end of class when we take a photo because I'm so sweaty. And Nicole, you're always like, "Are you taking your shirt off for this photo right now?" And I'm like,
"Yes,
yeah,
absolutely." So, Nicole, tell us a little bit about your background before you were doing the Nicole Winhofer method. I know that you like grew up on Broadway and like did so much amazing shit at such a young age. So, just please spill the beans.
All right, I grew up in New York. I trained professionally in dance, so I got to work with choreographers that choreographed Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera when I was like 14, 15. I would study with all these choreographers, and I had a mix of ballet and hip-hop, and so I've always wanted to experience the stage. You know, watching the VMAs back then when Britney did that?
Which
2010.
One? With the snake?
The tan thing where she was
tan. Can't get
the best.
That and is I was like,
fashion.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
With the hat, and then she throws the hat. She was so hot. Oh my God, I remember that.
You remember it. So yeah, that really, and Janet Jackson's Velvet Rope Tour really inspired me. And I booked my first Broadway show at 16.
Which one?
42nd Street.
Oh, that's amazing. Great.
I think I saw that one.
Then I did Bombay Dreams on Broadway, which was like, dun, 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 dun. Indian Bollywood dancing.
Oh, cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then I did Wicked.
Awesome.
You did?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, the best.
Which is so good.
So fun.
My friend who I've worked with in the photo world is the head makeup artist on Wicked.
Oh.
And he was telling me that he can do the like green makeup in under 15 minutes if he has to.
He should be there for Halloween.
I'm going to call him and be like, can you give me the Wicked makeup? Can we do a spooky like Nicole Winhofer class?
Oh my God.
Yes! Everyone needs to come in costume.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, but wouldn't your like makeup
music
sweat off
Michael
you?
Jackson yeah. Thriller. You have to teach us the Thriller dance that
way. I will. That's such a good idea.
Yeah. Oh my God, so fun.
That's a dance that everyone wants to learn.
I honestly look, Nicole's class makes me sweat more than I've ever sweat in any exercise class. It's like I sweat this, like I'm sweating as if I'm in a Bikram class, but I'm not in Bikram heat. I'm in like a normal, like semi-air conditioned studio space. And it's just, it's amazing how your workout just makes you like, I feel like a towel being like wrung out.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, so after I did the last Broadway show, I got to work with Madonna, who greatly influenced my technique and my studies. She's a performer, so she has to endure two-hour concerts on stage with costume, with hair, with makeup, singing live, 2.5 hours of choreography. So I created a workout for her that shocked her body, kept her on her feet, provided good skin tone. So that's why I create thermal heat in the body to also develop nice elasticity in the skin and just get you to an empowered place where you're just really confident. I feel like after class, we all feel really high. And really happy.
Yeah. I feel sexy just like having my curves and like having my body and
sweaty and no makeup.
For sure. Honestly, like when I'm on my hands and knees in your class and I'm working my butt, I'm just thinking about my boyfriend the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, he would just die.
I'm thinking about all the nudes that I'm going to take later to send to potential boyfriends.
Well, I think that too, like you just talked about your boyfriend, like sensuality is something not really practiced like in Western culture, and that's something that's so important for a female, and I want females to experience that in the class. That's why the lights are off, because you practice that. You have to practice that, the movement in the body and just feeling yourself, so that when you leave, you're like more confident.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like what's really nice about your class too is you're immediately just part of this group, and you really get an immediate sense from everybody else that everyone's really comfortable there. Everyone's just totally open. I mean, honestly, I'm not the best dancer, and we just like dance like fools all together at the end, and like it's just really good, and it feels really open, and like you can do your best work and like be the best version of yourself there. So it's a really like warm, friendly environment.
I really wanted to achieve that because I didn't feel like there was a place in New York that was like open. There's always a type, and people will be like, what's your demographic? Who are you targeting? I'm like, I'm targeting every woman in New York City that wants to just feel free and like a community, to build a community.
Right, exactly.
So how did you make the transition from being on Broadway to then going into more of like the workout sort of training?
Well, I trained my whole life. So like being a dancer, you kind of come up with your own training to help you stay in shape during shows.
Yeah.
And I would train. So I was like 17, 18 on Broadway, and everyone was like 40. And I'd like come along. They're like, oh my God, how do you dance like that? Can you train us? So I would hold classes. Like, so I started practicing then. And then I came to New York and did some backup dancing. I danced for Shakira. I did like the VMAs, and I would audition.
Fuck yes.
That's awesome.
I got to do.
Because he sips Don't Lie.
That's what I did.
Really? That is awesome.
We need to look at that video.
Watch it.
Yeah.
So cool.
And being in the dance community, I was able to just, you know, learn from the dancers. And I got to go on tour with Madonna on Sticky and Sweet in 2009. And that's when I was like, yes. Yes, God. And it was the first time like I got to see her in concert, and just having the ability to train with her dancers and mix all the styles from around the world into my training only enhanced my training.
It's really interesting what you said about like endurance and, you know, training Madonna, being that that's like a 2-hour performance that she puts on. It's almost like marathon training for running. It's like you need to be able to run for like whatever, 3 hours, 4 hours.
Yeah.
But it's like with, you know, training for the rest of your body besides just running, it's like you're going through your whole day and you're going through all these different things, and you need to be able to have energy to do it all. And I think that's why it's like so important.
Yeah.
What I love about Nicole's class too is that like, and what you said earlier that I've been meaning to bring up about how women, you know, now we're all expected, especially in New York. Everywhere. It doesn't even matter if you're in New York or if you're in middle of wherever. But the expectations are just so tremendous. Like, to work, to look good, to smell good, to feel good, to want to have sex, to want to care for your children if you have them, to, like, needing to do all of these things. And I think that that's a pressure that is so specific to women. And I think that, you know, Nicole's class, it's also about endurance, but women need so much endurance just like through life.
Yeah, definitely. Through the day, even.
Everything is just endurance based. Like, you were meant to, I really think that women are expected to float so many things and to be able to juggle so many things that it's really hard to like give yourself the attention that you deserve and that you need to like keep you kind of sane.
Yeah, you have to have strength in so many different ways. Especially like, you know, I feel like as young women, we have all made the transition like really to adulthood in the past couple of years. Like, I'm not a kid anymore. As much as I like to think I am in my mind, I'm like almost 30 and my body is totally different than it was 10 years ago. And my relationship with my body is totally different. And so, you know, I think that having Nicole on the show today is awesome because she talks a lot about, you know, like the way that you perceive yourself. Mm. And, you know, I think it'd be interesting to talk about sort of like body image a little bit. And like, because I feel like it's so relevant to women. You know, we're like 7 and 8 now and we're starting to think like, I'm too fat or I'm too tall.
I feel like there's like,
big. It's like, it's so frustrating and terrifying that like this is starting at such a young age now. Like, I know it did for us. And, you know, you really have to get comfortable with yourself.
I feel like there's sort of it seems for me now. I don't know what's gonna happen in the future, but there's like been two points in my life where I'm like, okay, things are changing, and like I don't know how to
handle
how
it.
To handle it. Like when I was 13, and then like now when I'm 29, like a year when I was 28, I was like, wow, I have hips. So like those are like the two phases that I've sort of experienced to that changes in my body and all of that.
For me too. Even just in the past couple weeks, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I think my metabolism just showed slowed down.
Yes.
Seriously.
Also too, I think that a lot of people don't take into consideration hormones and how if your hormones are off, then all of a sudden your sensitivity and your thoughts are off. So you can actually be leaner than you were when you were 28. And maybe because of higher levels of estrogen or just some sort of weird body dysmorphic thing you have going on, or we're more sensitive the older we get as women, that you may think you appear to be a different way.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. So I'm trying to teach women to feel good, because then that then affects your choices. So, for example, I went through every possible eating disorder being a dancer. I also studied with the School of American Ballet, so I was like a ballerina as well.
I was a ballerina growing up.
Yeah. I knew it. You have really good feet.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just like how I would so discipline my mind over matter, right? I say mind over matter, and I would discipline myself to eat like this much for breakfast, this much for lunch, and I was so thin. I was like 90 pounds when I was like,
oh my God.
I lost like all this weight, and I was running, and I really trained my mind. So that shows the power of the mind.
Yeah.
And then I went away on tour and I was like, okay, like I am with like all the adults and like I don't have, I'm making money and I'm going to go and I'm going to have fun and party and drink and pay for my cast members. And I gained a ton of weight. I went all the way up to 180 pounds. 180, it's like double the weight.
Well, and you don't realize too, like, drinking and just like the not sleeping, it's like the perfect storm of things happening to your body at once. Yeah. Also can just like hit you in a crazy way.
Yeah, and because I had controlled my mind so much, I lost the primal instinct, which I think our Western culture does not have, of feeling hungry or when you feel tired,
right,
or when you feel awake. It's like we're so caught in our minds that we forget that it's all about primal sensitivity.
Right.
So what I'm moving towards in my class is getting people to be more sensitive about what they feel. Like stop when you want to stop or feel this movement, and targeting different points in the body so that then you can just make better choices and we're not depriving ourselves to eat a certain way and listening to ourselves more.
So what do you think then, you know, being 90 pounds, having, you know, controlling eating situations, mm-hmm, and then shooting all the way up to 180 pounds and like partying, mm-hmm, and what sort of brought you back down to like an equal level? What do you think did that for you? Well, or do you feel like you've even found an equal level now?
Yeah, it's always doing what makes me happy. And I know that sounds very cliche, but just constantly checking in with myself and always making sure that my creativity is being accessed somehow. So if I'm feeling like, oh my God, I have so much work, I'm so stressed, that I do something that kind of opens up my, I keep talking about the subconscious, but that frees my mind. And every day is like a struggle though.
Yeah.
You know, every day I have to check in with myself, and I notice that when I'm not so busy that it's easier, you know, but when I'm happy, life is easy.
Yeah.
I just try and be happy.
It's so interesting too what you said about hormones and everything, because I do feel like, you know, when someone puts on weight or loses a bunch of weight, everyone's so quick to judge that they're eating too much or they're eating too less. And it's so much like how you're influenced in your life. Like what if you just, you know, lost your father or went through a breakup or you're getting a new job, and like so much of it's stress related. And I feel like it's so hard to be a woman and deal with changes in your body because there's so much sort of this pressure of
stimulus,
people just
I don't know if this is like boring to the listeners, but I'm obsessed with like human behavior, and I'm studying with this Stanford professor like that's doing online courses about human behavior and about hormones. And he said, what do these three people have in common? And then one is an overeater, one just murdered someone, and one like takes like testosterone. And he said they all influence hormones, and all of these people have been released from like killing someone. So it just shows that what goes on internally can affect outward circumstances.
Everything.
And that's the thing that we have to deal with, like balancing our life somehow, because it's a lot. And women have so many hormone changes, you know? And
Oh yeah. So I guess since we're talking about this in particular, you know, getting to a place of happiness and, you know, like living your best life,
you know, you train people for a living, and I'm sure that they come to you with these kinds of questions of like, how do I actually accomplish this?
Yeah.
And I know that it's a struggle for each one of us every single day, including you. But like, what are some of your best tips for sort of like reaching the happy place?
First is writing down what you want. I'm a huge writer downer.
That's a good idea.
Writer downer.
Yeah.
So when the first thing I wake up in the morning, I take my paper from under my pillow because I sleep it under my pillow. And I read through. And then before I go to bed. So that's almost like a list. So that's like the analytical mind. And then I have vision boards. So the visual imaginative mind. Mm-hmm. The more you can visualize or see the things you want, whether that's a better marriage or a better relationship or to gain weight, to lose weight, to have more money, to go up in your job. It's really about specificity and just being really specific. Like in my workout, I say the more the specific the intention, the more specific the result. And it's crazy to me how people like don't, like, are not specific about what they want. And everything I've done in my life, like, I've said in some way, shape, or form that I want to do that. And I don't think people realize they have the power. And it's really in your hands. Like, you write your destiny, you know? Like, you create it.
Yeah. It's as simple as creating a list, ladies and gentlemen.
The list.
The list.
I think that it's so hard now in, like, today's society with, you know, social media and just everything. It's almost like we have too much information coming at us at once that I think it's really hard sometimes to be like, oh, well, I want to be a writer, but I also want to be a yoga teacher, but I also want to be a scientist. But I also like, I think that there's this ping pong effect that has started to happen at least like in our generation for younger people.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing, but it can also be really, really, really confusing when you're like trying to be specific and figure out what you want. And it's like a lot of us, I don't know if, you know, because a lot of us, I don't know if we were raised to think like be so specific, you know, I don't know.
Well, everything is about, well, the exciting thing is that you can change who you are, your life at any given moment. And what works for me is like huge visualization. So like if I want to change like my style or I want to feel a certain way, I'll channel like, or I want to be more eloquent in my speech. So I'll channel like Abraham Lincoln. Like, how would you answer this question? And it's really about having fun exploring yourself. Because at the end of the day, we really don't know ourselves. Like we think we do and we don't. And it's a kind of like a freedom. And also, I like Samuel Beckett's quote of like, fail, fail again, fail harder.
I think a lot of us
are love
afraid
that
to
one.
Fail. And the more I told myself, just fail. Just open a class. And if one person's there, fine. Just keep doing it. Just keep failing. And it kind of like freed me.
Yeah. It's sort of like, I feel like the more you hear no, it doesn't even mean anything. You know what I mean?
The stronger you get.
Yeah,
it's like you have to go through shit to be able to come out the other side.
Totally.
So true.
My uncle, who is just an amazing person to talk to, gave me some advice that has just like stuck with me. Essentially, like, the more you try and the more people that say no to you, it doesn't matter because all that you need is eventually just one person to say yes.
It takes one person
and
to
believe
in you.
And it's just, you know, and all of those times, you're just going to learn. Like, trying and failing will do nothing but help you learn.
Yeah.
Because if you fail, then you'll know what you did wrong and, like, you'll learn how to change it. And then when the succeeding comes, you'll be so much more prepared for it. Like, you can't succeed without the failure, I really think.
That's why child stars, guys, they end up in trouble down the line.
I know.
It's interesting, too, going back to women in general right now, it's sort of like, I feel like this is a great time where women are supporting each other, but I feel like it's also a bad time in the sense of all of the body shaming and the hatred that's on social media and like the trolls and stuff like that, that just say horrible things.
It's very stressful.
So it's like that, there's like, but then there's all these women that are supporting each other. So it's just interesting, I don't know, to view that sort of like cross.
Well, everybody has a platform and a voice these days. You know what I mean?
Everyone.
Like you turn on your computer and like you have a voice all of a sudden. And so I think, you know, you have to be able to navigate through, you know, the mess of all of that.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice to people that, you know, get hurt by comments online or like the bullying and that sort of thing? Like, has that ever happened to you? Do you like,
oh yeah,
how do you deal with that?
I take every circumstance that happens as an experience. I don't think things happen to me, but as the higher power or whoever you believe in, God, I'm testing you to see how strong you are. Because if life were just easy, then we would never grow. But if you're faced with someone, for example, if someone calls you a name that's hurtful, I know there's a lot of bullying going around in school, it's probably because they're teaching you to speak up for yourself, to stand up for yourself, and giving you that trait, that power. If that kid never went through the bullying, then he would never learn how to stand up for himself, you know? So
yeah.
I experienced that in high school, and now I, like, understand how to back it up and, you know, stand up for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't see anything really as a challenge. I think it's, like, a learning experience, and if you perceive it in that way, then you can make it work for you.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I do appreciate, though, that there's, like, a shift that's been happening, like, in pop culture where, like, women having curvier bodies, having asses, having boobs, having
I will say
becoming what's more desirable now, which, like, thank fucking God, because I could never be so
I really do feel that the Kardashians have something to do with that too, because they do have curvier bodies and they're hot and they do things. They, like, have made a great living selling products and working with brands.
As much as people complain about them, their bodies have done good things for other
and they're still very thin. I'm not trying to say anything like that. I just mean that it's crazy.
But they're girls with curves, and, like, that makes me feel like when I was 14, I got a breast reduction because my boobs were literally the size of Queen Latifah's boobs as a 14-year-old girl that was 5'3". So my tits were, like, literally eating my body. But I felt I had so much shame from that. Like,
wow.
I felt it was awful. I mean, my middle school boyfriend felt me up and told me that he felt like his hand was shrinking.
Oh my God.
Okay, so, like, yeah.
The things people say.
I mean, no, he wasn't. But honestly.
That's so mean.
Whatever. He also, like, came in 2 seconds when I touched his dick, so it's fine. But.
Loser. What a loser.
But.
And we're not going to name him.
I think.
I'm just kidding.
I'm not
we
name
never
him,
named Charlie.
We never named
him. We're not
going to
name him Joshua.
But I really do think that, like, that way of feeling was so bad. I felt like such, I felt fat and awful, and it was such a terrible way of feeling. And, like, it took me literally until, like, maybe I started taking Nicole's class to finally look in the mirror and be like, is awesome. Yeah. Like, my body's awesome. I have boobs. I have an ass. And, like, I have bigger arms.
Yeah. But I think when you were younger, there wasn't.
And I have bigger arms than I hate, but it's whatever, and I'm okay with it. So
I think when were 14, there was no one really in the media that had a curvier figure that was, like, considered to be beautiful.
Yeah, no.
You know, like, the closest was J-Lo.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's a goddess.
And J-Lo is
totally
a goddess.
I love J-Lo.
Or maybe, or, like, Janet Jackson.
Yeah, but even then, being, like, a white girl, you know what I'm saying? I think it's also, like, being a white girl, especially growing up in D.C., I grew up around a lot of, like, preppy, waspy white girl bods. Like, all of my girlfriends that played, like, lacrosse and soccer just had those, like, hot, like, athletic white girl bodies. I don't know how else to explain them. Like, kind of broad shoulders, small boobs, tall, legs that didn't touch, like, abs that were just there naturally. And I'm like, hi, I'm storing small amounts of fat for when I have a baby because I'm extremely fertile because I have childbearing hips. Like, that's just what I look like.
Well, I mean, Lo and I grew up at the beach, which was an environment where not a lot of people are dressed fully at all times.
Yeah.
Did growing up near the water make you feel more comfortable in your bodies because you were exposed to...
Not at all.
No?
Definitely not.
Okay. No. Everyone where we're from is, like, the tiniest... people.
Yeah, it took me like a couple seasons of running cross country and, like, training in the summer running 13 miles a day to feel comfortable in a bathing suit, honestly. And, like, I was, like, a petite child, and even back then I was like, I'm fat.
I don't think I've ever felt comfortable in a bathing suit.
Yeah,
well, that's about to change starting tomorrow.
It needs to. It's just a mental thing. I just have never.
I'm not comfortable in a bathing suit. I pretty much only wear a one piece.
It's literally the biggest thing that bothers me.
My abs, we talked about this the first time we met, Nicole. I have a serious complex over my stomach.
You were looking so good.
I'm coming back to class tomorrow, so we can just restart the
But I don't even
abs.
Think it's like, that's the biggest thing that bothers me or that bothers me about myself, I guess, would be that fact, the bathing suit fact. Because I think it's like, why is there all this pressure to be bikini body ready? But like, what the fuck is that ad? Like, if I see that ad again, I think I'm gonna like...
But the thing is, what I feel like we're not taught as like young children is that we're all already beautiful. And think about it. It's already it's energy. So if you're in a bathing suit, right, and all your 29 years of living, you're like, I'm just never comfortable in a bathing suit. I'm just never comfortable in a bathing suit. You're penetrating that vibration to everyone on the beach, in the ocean, saying that girl is not comfortable in a bathing suit.
For
no
sure.
No matter what you weigh, no matter what you look like, if you're like, oh my God, I'm swimming in my like luxurious sensuality.
Yeah, it doesn't
like,
matter.
People are going to be like, wow, she is hot. So I'm all about getting energy. A woman into that first,
for sure,
and then slowly over time you can like chisel away, because I get it, we all want to look good, but
yeah,
but
I do, it's definitely a feeling.
Energy is so transitive, and that's why like when you're around a negative person you start to feel really negative, and when you're around like what's great about your class is you have this like vibrant, empowering energy. So like, yes, a big portion of it is the workout because it's so hard and intense and you really feel it in your body. But another huge aspect of it too is being like, oh my God, I just spent an hour around this person that is like jolting me with this like can do positive energy. Yeah. So like, people don't even, I'm really into it, into energy and like transitive energy too. And people don't even know that that's happening, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like when you know when you meet someone that you really like and you're like, I don't know, I just really like being around them.
Yeah. So much and of you it can't even think of a word.
Yeah, like you can't even put your finger on it. It's just because they have an energy that you just like really like being around.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's really cool when you can bring that into like a workout experience.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so can you tell us, like, break down your class? Because Jilly's coming tomorrow.
I've never
for
been.
The first time.
I would like to get a visual of it.
Give us an explanation. So, and I know that you have a very specific workout methodology. And like, you taught it to me from the very beginning. What I'm talking about specifically is like engaging all your muscles all the time, like thinking about it, directing energy to that part of your body. So I'll just let you take it away instead
that
of
was actually really good, because you're a woman that's very concise with her speaking. I can talk for hours and hours. Okay, I'll make it quick. So my class is in the dark, so that we use more stabilizing muscles. So we're used to using our vision all the time. We're used to walking forward. Everything is habitual movement patterns. Running, cycling, we overuse the same muscle groups. My class focuses on all the muscles all the time, angles of the female body, three specific points behind the arms, the waist, and the buttocks. And high repetition to induce muscle memory. So those muscles fire, your body remembers it the next day, and you keep coming back, and then those muscles are always twitching. Everything is to the music, because pulsing for the body is really important for skin elasticity. Trigger points, so just like in acupuncture, you have specific trigger points that you want to release to block stagnation. So if you're a woman that gains weight in her midsection, which is also the fifth chakra, which has to do with your self-esteem, a lot of times you'll put on weight in certain areas that will protect you. So it's all protection. Women want to protect themselves. So I focus on breaking up scar tissue, breaking up fat, and just getting the body to move freely. I use dope music.
Yes.
Yeah, the music
it's
is great.
So
dopest.
Fun.
The dope show.
And I just want people to
the
just let... The dope show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want people to have fun and let go and just, like, not care so much, but do care. It's, like, honor everything, but nothing really matters kind of thing. Freeing up your life and just being freaking awesome. And just telling yourself... Oh, this is very important. Your thoughts during the class, you repeat on autopilot. I am the shit. I am the shit. I am the shit. I am the shit. I am the shit.
I used to, when I was working out, I would always be like, if I don't get this like last mile in, or if I can't lift this weight, then something bad's going to happen. Like, I'd always do that. And then I like realized, why don't I just be like, oh, if I do this, like, some like that's cool. Like, good for you.
Change.
You know what I mean?
Your perspective.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I
know.
Yeah. Like, that's how I was with working out. And I've changed that this year. But I love that you just said that, because that's like a really, I think it's a really big part of working out that you don't realize. It's like the voice within your head.
Oh, it's everything.
Yeah,
perception
for sure.
Yeah.
So speaking of voices in my head, my voice is telling me that it's time to talk about threesomes. Here comes sexploration, everyone's favorite topic.
Ow,
every week.
Yes,
sexploration.
I love sexploring. It's my favorite. I'm in a constant state of sexploration. I think I'm a professional sexplorer. You guys, my brother
listens to this. You're like Carmen Sandiego.
My brother listens to this podcast. He's a true listener. So I'm just going to say hi, Ethan.
Hey, Ethan. You're like the Carmen Sandiego of sex.
Yeah. So what do we think about threesomes? I have not partaken.
When three become one, I feel like that is very much so like in line with Nicole. Everyone just like connecting energy, bodies moving together. Maybe.
Are you down?
I have never tried one, but I'm always open to new experiences when it quote unquote feels right.
Yes.
So I'm not going to like be like, okay, on my to-do list is I have to try and explore or sex explore a threesome. If I'm not comfortable and I don't feel good, I ain't going to jump in.
Yeah.
But if I'm feeling it, you know.
Why not?
I mean, there's nothing. I've never had one.
Jill, low.
I think Greta's the only one.
I'm the only one.
Yeah.
I've been in like, I've had a couple threesomes. They've always been with another girl and a guy. I've never been in a threesome with two guys because I really don't think I can handle two dicks. Honestly.
I think it's a lot.
It's just like a lot happening. Yeah. And I don't know.
Well, you know a female's body more than a male. So yeah, it's easier probably for that.
Less threatening to me. Like two erect penises.
Pointing
sounds
at
like
you.
Pointing in my face sounds like very threatening.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It makes me feel uncomfortable, which is why I would never do it.
I feel like threesomes are like all the rage right now. Well, maybe they've always been all the rage.
I think that they've always been all the rage. I think like orgies and sex parties and like free love, that kind of all really started in like the 60s.
Yeah,
and
but
stuff.
Honestly, right now with like all of the burners of Burning Man. And if
also
you're a
Thrinder,
if you're a burner. No, I have not been to Burning Man. If you're a burner, I'm not trying to insult anybody there, but you go to Burning Man and your relationship becomes open. That's like one of the things that people say when they go to Burning Man. And I just kind of think that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
oh, you mean if you're dating someone and then you hook up with someone at Burning Man, it doesn't count as
like,
cheating?
It's all about free love.
Like free love and open relationships and like.
Listen, just because you're on vacation does not mean you can cheat.
I will tell you one thing.
Like all people are into it. It's not like you have to do that, but that's how most people go into the situation like thinking about it.
I agree
couples ahead of time.
I will say I've been in three threesomes. All three threesomes have been ruined because it's been with like a couple and then
and
like,
you're the third
been, no
the
guest star. I was the guest star twice and the couple once and I got jealous as the couple. I was like, you want to fuck her? Like crazy shit.
Get it.
And then the other time was with a friend of mine and she kind of realized she wasn't into the dude, so then we just like let him, like, I don't know, it was weird.
You're like, we
and
have to go.
Time, they got
sorry,
they got upset that I was there. Like, yeah. I've never been
in a successful
where everyone's
one.
Been like super into
maybe
it.
That's because you haven't been to Burning Man.
Maybe maybe it is.
Maybe you need to just burn baby burn next year.
Maybe I do. Maybe I just need to like go to a swingers party or something weird.
Yeah, it's possible. Well, I think honestly, like threesomes, people are fronting a lot about them, about how awesome they are and like how like, you know, sexual and rad. Because I think that a lot of times somebody's feeling gets hurt and like somebody's left out and it's just like not all they're hyped up.
It can be a very messy situation. I would really advise only doing a threesome if it's like you're all friends and you guys just want to like fool around, or if you meet each other on Craigslist and you're all strangers and just want to fool around.
Absolutely.
I think like a middle ground is really difficult.
Yeah,
for sure.
That being said, don't meet strangers on Craigslist.
Use condoms, and you'll be fine.
Hey, Mika.
Absolutely. All right, y'all. Well, it's time to wrap things up. I just want to say thank you so much to Nicole for joining us. You're so amazing. And you can find Nicole on NicoleWinhofer.com, and that is her Instagram handle also. So, per usual, we have to leave you guys with our Lady Lovin' of the Week. And this week, it's our dear friend Lauren Conrad, who made her New York Fashion Week debut a couple weeks ago. We went to her show, and it was absolutely wonderful.
It was beautiful.
Yay, Lauren.
It was like pastels just...
It looked very
correctly threw up everywhere. Like, it was gorgeous.
I couldn't go, but it looked very dreamy, very fairy tale story like.
Super feminine, great. And it's available at Kohl's, so it's super accessible.
We love you, Lauren.
Yay, girl.
I don't know you, but I love you.
Nicole loves you too.
Nicole loves you too. All right, thanks you guys. Subscribe and tune in next week. See ya.
Peace out.